Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Senators, this legislation does not impact the ability of an adult in our state to make a decision to pursue any treatment or surgery related to sex reassignment. As we have discussed, the bill is consistent with rules by both the Florida Board of Medicine and Board of Osteopathic Medicine that restrict sex reassignment prescriptions and procedures for children. These physician medical boards spent the past 8 months considering medical research, listening to experts, and hearing from the public. They determined these treatments to be harmful for minors, and the board's rules went into effect March 16th and March 28th, respectively. This bill codifies those rules.
All right, this is on the Senate side. This is Clay Yarbrough, the sponsor of the Senate version of the bill, SB 254. That's the one that bans transgender hormone therapy and or sex reassignment surgery of any kind for minors. And allows it for adults, of course, because, you know, they're adults, but bans it for minors in the state of Florida. This is one of four bills that's going to be up for a vote on the House side tomorrow. The bills include things like, you know, required and prohibited use of pronouns and bathrooms and a whole variety of other things. Drag shows is one of them, even though that's not exactly the same thing, but, you know, it's kind of in the vicinity, as Florida is seeking to implement a standard policy across the state that says man and woman made at birth, and that's what we're going to really do, especially with kids. There's a lot of conversation to be had about this, but again, to finish up with Clay Yarbrough's comments on the subject.
Additionally, as reported in the New York Times in October 2022, England's National Health Service proposed restricting use of the drugs for gender dysphoric children to research settings. Sweden and Finland have also placed limits on the treatment, concerned not just with the risk of puberty, blockers, but the steep rise in young patients.
So you have there the conversation about other countries that had gone earlier to this are now backing away from it. America's still kind of on the, you know, slow adopters kind of phase, but that means that we're, you know, we're starting to do what they have started abandoning to do, which is to have kids do this. 437-1620. I wanted to give you comments from, you know, I always like to listen to people who disagree with me because I think they, even if you know they might be wrong, figuring out why they're wrong is kind of like the game, or like, you know, understanding how to respond to arguments is part of the value of listening and also knowing how to articulate your own views in contrast, right? That's kind of the idea. So Geraldine, she goes by Jerry Thompson in the Senate. She had a very long comment, but I'm going to play some of it for you here.
Senators, I am one of two children born to my parents. I'm the oldest. I had a younger brother. And I remember when he was nursing and he would be given a bottle, he would reach for the bottle with his left hand. And when he began to feed himself, he would grip the spoon in his left hand. And I remember my family being very concerned. I was the big sister. And they wrapped his left hand in cloth to try to force him to use his right hand.
And of course, you understand where she's going with this, but you know, let her have her say, because it's kind of an interesting comparison, right? You've got the boy who is left-handed by inclination, and the society around him is trying to train him out of that.
And when he went to school, he would hold his pencil in his left hand, and he was disciplined for using the wrong hand.
Something that I think a lot of people who grew up left-handed in the era would understand. That was a relatively common way to treat left-handedness back then.
When he grew up, he decided that he wanted to enter the trades, and he became a plumber using his left hand. And he built a thriving business. He earned more than his big sister, who was a teacher, and he did this with his left hand. And throughout his life, in so many stages of growing up, there were people who wanted him to conform. There was no one else in the family who used their left hand. In the school, most of the students used their right hand. So they wanted him to conform.
And, of course, what's the landing of all of this? Again, it's predictable, but let's have her hear her say.
And the point that I want to make today, senators, is that we are not all wired the same. And I do not believe that my brother woke up one day and decided that he would be left-handed. It was biological. He came here left-handed. And no matter how many people, how many institutions wanted him to conform and wanted him to change, he was left-handed.
So, obviously, you know, what would you respond? What would you respond if somebody runs you the analogy of, look, sexual identity, sexual orientation, all of the things that you are all up in arms over these days are just like being left-handed? It's just different. It's just alternate. It's just, you know, and some people are that way and some people are not that way. And everybody can learn to be happy and productive and prosperous in this world if only we can stop trying to fix everybody and instead just kind of, you know, figure out how to help people thrive where they are. How would you react to that if somebody presents you with this argument? Well, here's how I would respond. I would say, well, you know, that sounds like a pretty awful thing to impose on a kid back then. But I don't know that that's a great analogy for sexual orientation or sexual identity or gender identity or anything like that, because there are so many differences between handedness and those things. And unless your point is that every time somebody is different, you know, somebody who might be inclined towards stealing or somebody who might be inclined towards lying or somebody who might be inclined towards violence, unless what you're meaning is that no inclination that somebody has might be considered incorrect or worth training people out of, I'm not sure how far this analogy gets us in terms of these questions, because that's the real issue. Now, is it a good reminder that a society can be misguided about what it thinks a person ought to be trained out of or what can be inappropriate? Of course. And that's why I wanted to play it for you, because it's a good reminder. You should always listen to your opponents. Right. Always listen to the argument. And by the way, there's another one that the opponents on this topic make that I think is well worth paying attention to. I'll get to that in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
This is brought to you by Topps Appliance in Milton. South Navy Boulevard resurfacing project happening with a continue for utilities, sidewalk and curb repair in the outer northbound lanes for NAS Pensacola as you're making your way in today. So expect possible lane closures, not just today, but all the way through Friday, it looks like, on and off. Topps Appliance featuring freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, rangers, washers, and dryers from GE, Hot Point, Speed Queen, and more. Topps Appliance, that's Highway 90 in Milton. And if you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to this whole topic of transgenderism and the things that are being done here in the state of Florida, many bills being offered to restrict, limit, or control that, particularly when it comes to kids. And one of the, you know, getting texts in here saying, you know, well, her brother was born male, right? That doesn't need to be changed. He was born with a hand preference. That doesn't need to be changed. That's right. But again, just what does the analogy prove or not prove? Well, the analogy only works if you make the assumption that handedness is significantly comparable to, for example, gender identity, sexual orientation, or any of the other things that she's likely meaning it for. And, you know, part of the problem with the analogy is those things we already understand as being moral and or behavioral. And the other thing we understand is that, but that's her point, is we're wrong about that. It's not moral or behavioral, your handedness. It could just something that should be accepted. But there is a point that I think the critics here are making about Florida that we should listen to. And that's the point about freedom. They keep talking about, you know, free states don't ban health care and free states don't tell people how to treat their children. And DeSantis and the Republicans have styled Florida as a free state where all we love all the time is freedom. That's not correct. We like certain kinds of freedom. And it's an important thing to understand the difference between typically liberals and conservatives on the issue of freedom. Conservatives believe in economic freedom more and social or moral, which often means sexual freedom, less. That there really are more right and wrong things when it comes to that realm, and that to some degree the state ought to be involved in that. And yet when it comes to economic things, the state should not be involved in that. Whereas Democrats or liberals typically believe that you should have more freedom in the sexual, social, moral realm, and almost without limitation at all, And in the economic realm, we should tax the rich and give to the poor and redistribute wealth and have all kinds of rules about money. Neither one has a monopoly on freedom, and neither one is completely opposed to freedom. We just believe in different kinds of freedom. And if you're a libertarian or even an anarchist, which is like, you know, libertarians are anarchist light, you believe in maximal social, moral, and also economic freedom. And on the other end, if you're a totalitarian or, say, a fascist, then you believe in limiting freedom across the board, both economically and socially and morally. It just, it's very easy to teach as a grid. I'm sorry I can't show you the picture, but I wanted you to think about this idea that, you know, DeSantis styles us as being pro-freedom, and the critics are saying, how is this a pro-freedom thing? Well, it's not. It's not. I mean, restricting parents' rights or restricting people's ability to be transgender in any way they view that, that's not an enhancement of freedom. That is a representation of a certain, or, you know, recognition of a certain worldview about gender. But that's okay. You don't have to say you're always in favor of every kind of freedom, because nobody is. Not really, unless, again, they're an anarchist. 720 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Again, those votes are going to all be tomorrow, so we're going to hear quite a bit about this tomorrow and the day after that. 437-1620, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, I strongly recommend Christina Leavenworth. You should include her on your list of realtors that you're going to interview, and that's fine. Interview two or three, like anything else. I mean, major life choice, you know, financially involved. Why don't you interview a couple of people? One thing I recommend you ask your whoever you're interviewing is, how many homes do you sell a year? Because Christina sold about 200 last year, over 200 last year. How many have you sold so far this year? She has sold 36 so far this year and had 29 under contract. And as of about April 1st, so when the first quarter had ended, there were 3,000 realtors on the MLS, 1,600 had sold zero. Because realtors, many of them, the majority, only sell one or two homes a year. 20 had sold more than 20, 7 had sold more than 30, Christina had 36. So that's not the only thing you should look at, but it is a question of who do you want representing your home, or who do you want helping you buy a home, somebody who sells one or two a year, or somebody who sells, you know, 200 a year. Your thoughts, you know, that's where you go. 723-9158, 723-9158.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you ever feel powerless? Powerless to change your circumstances? So did the man at the Pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5. This man had an infirmity that rendered him powerless for 38 years. Do you know what changed everything for this man? It was the day he met Jesus. The powerless man met the powerful Son of God. Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately this man picked up his bed and walked for the first time in 38 years. I don't know what it is that's making you feel powerless, whether it's financial, physical, or relational, but I do know that the all-powerful God can meet your need if you'll put your faith in Him.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you curious about marijuana? Florida A&M University established the Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, also known as MARI, to educate the public about medical marijuana use, as well as the detrimental health and social impacts of unlawful marijuana use on local communities. Find out more at mmeri.famu.edu.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at newsradio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Wherever you are, you can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620.
He's sick. My best friend's sister's boyfriend's brother's girlfriend heard from this guy who knows this kid is going with the girl who saw Ferris pass out at 31 Flavors last night. I guess it's pretty serious.
program director, well, operations manager, he loves the Cars, their first album. To me, this is the Cars, Heartbeat City. I came all midstream. he's got just a couple of years on me, and so
Kevin's,
you know,
right, you're wrong.
Yeah, well, no, I agree. I mean, you know, that is a fantastic album. Cars is a fantastic album. I'm just saying, you know, I had Heartbeat City, so therefore I have Looking for Love. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And good news is we're not showing those accidents yet. Everything seems to be running smoothly. 98 not showing any problems. Is a General Chappie James. That is a 3-mile bridge. All open in all of the lanes. Just watch for the resurfacing project. This is South Navy Boulevard near Pensacola NAS. They're working on utility, sidewalk, and curb repair. It's going to require some daytime lane closures, not just today, but all the way through Friday, on and off. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Also, just a note, I'm not sure how long it's been this way, but the Wallace Lake Road, I think maybe just within the last week, they closed that off because they're doing work at Chemukla Highway.
Right,
so you
right.
cannot go west on Wallace Lake Road right now at the Piggly Wiggly by the, you know, the new high school.
Oh, man, K-8. What about the racing? You know, have you ever gone out there? No, not
no.
like street racing. No, 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 no. That's not what I mean. I mean the raceway.
Oh,
at Wallace
okay.
Lake Road. Not,
all right.
not like I do on New Warrington. Yeah.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
A 3-year-old girl's in critical condition after falling from the 6th floor of a Manhattan apartment building. That happened on Sunday. First responders quickly rushed that girl to a local hospital. Classes are back in session today at Rutgers after the university and its unions reached a settlement in their contract talks over the weekend. Faculty members had been working without a contract for almost a year as one of the largest walkouts in higher education history, with 9,000 faculty and staff members walking off the job. Rutgers president Jonathan Halloway says the new deal provides fair and equitable wages. And, well, this might be the book for you if you like drama when you're not involved, Candy.
That's Candy.
Yes.
Candy, go on.
Yes.
Britney Spears coming out with a memoir soon. She says she's ready to tell all. The book going to cover all of her vulnerable moments from her childhood and her breakup with Justin Timberlake, to the moment she shaved her head in her conservatorship. Apparently, it's one of the bigger book deals in history, a $15 million deal, followed by Barack and Michelle Obama's book deals.
Wow. Well, everybody already knows her stuff, though.
I know.
Man, she was very stupid.
And also,
like,
what I'm...
Yeah, she pretty much already put it all out there.
Yeah, and I'm also trying to figure out,
like me putting out a book.
Is the average devotee of the Britney Spears experience going to read that book?
It's a good question.
I'm not a Britney Spears devotee.
7:27 here on News Radio 92.3.
Thank you, David.
I saw this. Topol, the star of Fiddler on the Roof, he played Tevye. Okay, that's his by far and away most famous role. Well, he passed away last year, I guess, in March, or maybe this year. I guess this year in March. Anyway, excuse me. But his relatives, his family, are now disclosing that. Oh, by the way, you know when he was traveling all around the world as an actor? He was also working as a secret agent spy for Mossad. They say, and they gave some examples of things that he has done as his actor, being able to pretend to be undercover or, you know, to portray various roles or whatever. And, you know, his family has come out with kind of this, I don't know, disclosure. I think this is a mistake for them. Here's why. If it were true, and I'm going to assume that it's true. If it's true, it is a bad thing to tell people about it in 3 different ways. Well, Andrew, you're telling people. Yeah, but I'm not the first teller.
It don't count.
It's news now, right? Number one, I think it fosters anti-Semitism. Those Jews. Secretive lying. You know, kind of plays into that, like, you can't trust them. They're always up to something. That's not good. Number two, it puts all of actors in general, or maybe Jewish actors in particular, in some kind of danger, because now that raises the suspicion level that, you know, well, these actors are here filming a movie. What are they really doing? You know, like, that's always the allegation, is that that person's a spy in North Korea or in China or in Russia or whatever. And this kind of facilitates that narrative, which is going to harm some of these people. And the third one, and this is maybe the most obvious, the reason this worked is because people didn't suspect it, right? So if you favor the idea of beleaguered, besieged Israel over all these years, having to fight against all of the forces of anti-Semitism, why would you tell the world that this is what they did? Because they're probably still doing it. Like, it's really undermining the ability of others to use their position to effectively spy for Israel. If you're Jewish and his family is, shh. Right? You know, shh. Let it be. But, you know, sometimes you just want to give somebody their credit or give them their due or whatever. But, I think this is a very short-sighted thing for them to announce, frankly, is kind of a misguided. Like, would he have wanted this announced? I would think no. 7:30 on News Radio 92.3. David, what do you have coming up, sir?
Well, we just got word of a fatal crash early this morning on 95A. We'll tell you about it after Fox.
News. I'm CJ Papa. The House Judiciary Committee holds a field hearing near the offices of Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg today, who's prosecuting former President Donald Trump. New York Congresswoman Lee Stefanik.
This field hearing, this is what Republicans are committed to, getting across America, getting outside of the Beltway, hearing from real Americans.
The Republican last hour on Fox and Friends. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy delivers her speech at the New York Stock Exchange 10 a.m. Eastern in the face of the nation's debt limit crisis. Fox's Tucker Carlson sat down with Elon Musk. They touched on government peeking into your Twitter account.
The degree to which various government agencies had effectively had full access to everything that was going on Twitter blew my mind.
Now, the interview is tonight, Fox News Channel, 8 p.m. Eastern. The running of the Boston Marathon today. It's been 10 years since the domestic terrorist event, the bombing at the finish line that killed three and injured 281 more. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. 51 degrees. It is mostly sunny right now in Pensacola. And a 70-year-old cantonment man has died after a single vehicle crash. Now, this happened on Highway 95A early this morning, just before 2 a.m. Happened near Quintet Road. The Florida Highway Patrol says the man lost control going around a curve and hit a tree. He was pronounced dead at the scene of that crash. The legacy of local attorney Fred Levin lives on. They held the second annual Fred Levin Way Street Festival yesterday. Free food, giveaways, there were prizes. Dozens of nonprofits were there to highlight their services as well. Levin's son helped to organize the event. He says his father was born in Pensacola and made his life and his fortune here, and said there was no place that they'd rather hold that festival. Well, it looks like the lights are back on for everybody now, but at one point over the weekend, there were thousands of people in Baldwin County without power. That was after those severe storms that hit the region Saturday. Also, outages reported as far as Texas and Louisiana and Mississippi. Police in Alabama say four people are dead and more than two dozen injured after a mass shooting happened at a Sweet 16 birthday party in Dadeville.
28 individuals injured during the course of the incident. Some of those injuries are critical. They are in critical condition, and that's why it's so important. We absolutely need everyone to continue to pray.
And that shooting happened at a dance studio, again, in Dadeville. That's northeast of Montgomery. And reports say the group of injured people included more than a dozen teenagers. Right now, still no official word about the status of the suspect in that case. Florida lawmakers will find out in the next election what their constituents think of the new abortion law. Governor Ron DeSantis last week signed a bill that would ban most abortions after 6 weeks, and Senator Marco Rubio chimed in about that on Fox over the weekend, and he says many of the state's lawmakers were elected on their pro-life platforms. Says voters will ultimately decide if 6 weeks is too restrictive or not. The former Democratic nominee for governor going on trial today, Andrew Gillum, in federal court facing 19 different charges, including wire fraud and conspiracy. And prosecutors say Gillum and former state House candidate Sharon Janet Lettman Hicks conspired to raise money. They lied about where that money was going and then sent it to her PR company. She then allegedly sent that money to Gillum disguised as payroll payments. Jury selection beginning this morning. Opening statements expected as soon as this afternoon. It is 7:34 News Radio 92.3. Let's go ahead and get a look at your traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right. South Navy Boulevard resurfacing project continuing with a utility sidewalk and curb repair on the outer northbound side of Pensacola NAS at the lane there. It will require daytime lane closures. Be careful as you're way in and on your way out. No doubt it's going on through Friday, as I understand. And Wallace Lake Road is closed and Shamukla portion of it as they do road repair as well. If you have traffic tips, text 437. 1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Good Monday morning. Happy start to the work week. You couldn't have asked for better weather for the next few days. We're going to have highs in the middle 70s with mostly sunny skies every single day. Maybe a little bit chilly in the mornings, upper 40s to lower 50s for Monday morning, Tuesday morning, and even Wednesday morning. But we should warm up nicely by the end of the work week, where we do find some small rain chances by Friday and next weekend. That's your weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer here at WEAR News.
Thank you very much, Joseph. And right now, it is warming up nicely. 55 right now, sunshine in Pensacola, 57 in Gulf Breeze, and still a bit chilly, 51 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Energy and environment ministers of the G7 vowed to work to speed up the shift toward cleaner, renewable energy, but set no timetable for phasing out coal-fired power plants as they wrapped up 2 days of talks in the northern Japanese city of Sapporo yesterday. Japan won endorsements from fellow G7 countries for its own national strategy emphasizing so-called clean coal, hydrogen, and nuclear energy to help ensure its energy security. Japanese gaming giant Sega has made a $776 million offer for the maker of the Angry Birds puzzle game, Finland's Rovio Entertainment. The deal would be for the entirety of Rovio's outstanding shares and options, valuing them at 9.25 euro per share, a 19% premium to their closing price before the announcement. Rovio games have been downloaded over 5 billion times. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a little changed open. That's Your Money Now.
The Pete Moore Imports lineup of Volkswagen crossovers and SUVs will fit your lifestyle and your particular budget, whether a Taos, Tiguan, or Atlas. Pete Moore offers you smart choices, starting with the 2023 VW Taos. This sporty crossover is a joy to drive and is packed with technology. Right now, a 2023 Taos SE is discounted to start from $31,439. The 2023 Tiguan SE comes with third-row seating, modern looks, and cargo capacity to hold plenty. It's discounted to start from $32,899. And for the ultimate comfort and more than enough room for your family, friends, and furry companions, the VW Atlas is built for adventure. The 23 Atlas SE with technology now from $41,599. Pete Moore Imports has the selection and prices you've been searching for. They're not in Car City, but at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tax, title, and dealer fee. See dealer for details.
This is Paul Epstein with Running Wild. Join me this Wednesday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Discover why we at Running Wild are the running and fitness experts in the Pensacola and Fairhope communities, specializing in fitting you in the best shoe, apparel, and training for your unique needs. We pride ourselves on serving, training, and encouraging you to reach your goals. So bring your questions this Wednesday at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM. 1620.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine.
We did evaluate a third option at Sacred Heart Hospital, in addition to the big redevelopment of a standalone building, in addition to the expansion of an additional 6,000 square feet. We looked at a smaller upgrade. The architects and engineers have looked at that. And the 10-day rough order of magnitude estimate is around $4 million. And that would come with an additional annual lease cost of about $225,000 annually. So that would be public money invested in that private facility. I think it can operate as a satellite facility as it is for some number of years, although many of the mechanical systems are aging, which is what we discovered in that research.
All right, this is Dan Schubler. He is the former county administrator for Santa Rosa County. Now he's the head of the Domes Project to build a new facility, District 1 Medical Examiner's Office. They do all the autopsies and death investigations, and they're crucial for any evidence for prosecuting homicides and also just for understanding what causes people to die. And this has been this ongoing challenge of currently the medical examiner operates out of the Sacred Heart basement, a facility that does not have enough space, not enough cooler, not enough autopsy tables. The security there is not good, and the infrastructure there has been problematic, although some of that's been fixed, is what I'm told. But basically, the question is, all four counties, Okaloosa, Walton, and Santa Rosa, and Escambia, have a single district medical examiner, just like we have a state attorney for district. That's District 1, right? The panhandle. And so what do we do? Do we, A, refurbish the Sacred Heart facility? Nobody seems to really believe that's a great plan. Do we, B, build an all-on-its-own facility somewhere in Santa Rosa County? Originally, that had been the plan with land donated by Santa Rosa. That was part of their contribution. Or do we build something where it's build a new one and then also have the something at the Sacred Heart facility operating? As you heard there, Dan Schubler says, really getting that up to speed would be about $4 million and $250,000 a year. And we could probably limp along as is if it were not handling the majority of the casework, if it were a satellite office. Now, the Escambia County commissioners, at least three of them, okay, Jeff Bergosh, Stephen Berry, and Lumen May, are all just adamantly attached to keeping it right here, where it is or close to where it is in Escambia County in Pensacola. And then what they're saying, they don't think that can really accomplish the mission, so instead let's do two offices. Let's have one, maybe in Okaloosa, maybe on Avalon, where they've kind of been working on this so far, and then let's have a second facility here. I favored that plan. That was the plan that I thought made the most sense, too, because that would seem to solve the problem for the other three counties, and that would also solve the problem for us, and that would make it work. Mike Kohler, who's the other county commissioner, one of them, Robert Bender's also been doing really good work in this. Mike Kohler, who his background is in the medical profession, he was a nurse in the Navy, and he says, this doesn't make any sense. There's no reason to have a second facility. That's not good from an organizational perspective, from a security perspective, there's no reason to have a second facility. And so he's asking Dan Schubler, where the board is now apparently the Domes board, is kind of willing to allow a second facility that's a satellite, not a full-time. And he says, this doesn't make any sense. Can you explain why?
We're going to spend an additional $4 million at Sacred Heart. That's above and beyond what we're going to do on Avalon. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's not the recommendation, sir. That's just the estimate based upon that latest potential option at Sacred Heart.
Do you guys support having an annex at Sacred Heart?
I think having a satellite facility, we need to figure out what that looks like. It's been done in this district before. It's not ideal. It's not efficient. It introduces potential for errors.
That's correct. It does.
But it's something that is manageable, although not the best option.
Thank you.
That's a no. that's no. It doesn't make sense. And as he keeps trying to point out, look, getting to this location on Avalon, Mike Kohler keeps trying to put out, getting to this location on Avalon is not very far. Listen, if you're at, if you're at West Florida Hospital, Florida West Hospital, HCA, Florida West Hospital, and you're trying to go from there to a location off of I-10 on Avalon, how long does it take? 10 minutes? Maybe? 8 minutes? You go down Davis, you get on I-10 East, you're there. You're done. That's it, okay? You're at Sacred Heart, and there's a body at Sacred Heart. How long does it take to get it to Avalon Boulevard? Again, what? 12 minutes, depending on traffic on airport, okay, or Brent, you just turn right, go, done, right? That's it, okay? So is Baptist a little bit farther, okay? Current facility, new facility, 8 minutes, 6 minutes. It's right on the interstate. So the point is, it takes more time to get to Perdido. It takes more time to get to Beulah. It takes more time to get to the beach or to Century. This is not far. But the county commissioners in Escambia County, again, the three, okay, Lumen May, Jeff Bergosh, and Stephen Berry, just seem obsessed with keeping it at the current location because somehow or other in their mind, crossing the water is bad for us. It's so far to go. When really, if you're thinking from the perspective of the four counties operating as a unit, That's what makes sense. And the Dome's Board's trying to tell you this doesn't make sense. Split staff, part-time work, and annex. It's just satellite. It's just weird. There's no point to having it that way. Lumen May seems obsessed with the idea that, you know, we should build it here because we have the more deaths than anybody else, a plurality.
The distribution of usage of autopsies, I mean, is it equivalent to all the circuit to each county? I mean, so is there a higher usage?
You know
higher
this.
Amount of bodies coming out of Santa Rosa versus Escambia? I mean, what's that?
The number of Escambia County residents that come through our facility, sir, is about 43%, 44%.
Surely either Lumen knows this or he should know this, because everybody who's been watching this conversation knows this, that we have a plurality but not more than 50%.
So with that, obviously we have the majority, so why wouldn't it be more reasonable to have the entire facility located in Escambia County if we're at 44%?
I would say 56% of those bodies come from the other three counties, sir.
Yeah, but that's not the three.
That's the majority.
And because we're not geographically central. Like, if Pensacola were in the, like, on the line between between Santa Rosa and Okaloosa County, then duh. You know, of course. But we're not. And the growth is happening to the east. That's where the big growth is coming, meaning that in the future, 5, 10, 20 years down the road, the share of population is going to be different. Therefore, the share of deaths are going to be different. So it's just, it's weird. And I understand, because in the beginning, I was on the side of let's have two. But once you realize that having two doesn't make sense, then it's a question of where do you build the one? It's Santa Rosa. I mean, Okaloosa is too far. But think about it from Walton County's perspective. It's too far for them to go to Pensacola. And it's just kind of like, it's odd the way they've got this mental block slash, well, we can't send money out of our account. That's what Walton's doing anyway. That's what Okaloosa's doing anyway. So Mike Kohler, again, comes back and asks the questions. We'll get to this in just a second, because to me, this is a failure of leadership by the three on the Escambia County Commission. I think Bender makes sense. And I think Kohler makes sense. Barry, Bergosh, and May don't make sense on this. And it's kind of weird. I'll explain in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
This is great. A great subject. As we take a look around, good news is I'm not showing any of the slowdowns or delays. It looks like 90 is fine. Not showing any problems on 98. All exits off I-10, I-110 reporting as clear. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Yeah, thanks so much, Candy. Got a couple of texts in here. One says, there's a lot of things to debate. This isn't one. Clearly, the office in Santa Rosa is the only choice. Somebody else says, Florida body removal takes about 4 hours to get to a location. You know, after it's somebody's passed away and you go through all the processing, going to Avalon makes sense and doesn't change much of anything. That's exactly
well,
right.
Well, yeah, the bodies are already, already dead. They're not going anywhere.
Right. Urgency is not there.
Right.
So, anyway, and it's not farther. It's only farther if you start from the premise of where it is right now. Okay, but back to the conversation. Again, Mike Kohler pressing Dan Schebler on this notion of a second facility in Escambia County.
I want to know what exactly is going to happen at Sacred Heart. I mean, are you going to do autopsies at two sites? I don't know what you're going to do there that you can't do at the main site 10 to 11 miles away.
There is nothing that couldn't be done at the main site that would have to be done at Sacred Heart Hospital, sir.
Would you staff both sites separately?
There would. I mean, this Escambia County is asking for a satellite facility in Sacred Heart, and I think the chief...
How many FTs would be put there?
I think it would be part-time.
It's part-time, it's duplicative facilities, it's having to buy extra equipment that you don't have to purchase and maintain. It doesn't really make sense. Again, I thought it did at first, okay? You catch me, I don't know, a month and a half ago, something like that, I probably thought, yeah, that two facilities make sense. The more I hear Mike talk about it, the more I think about it, and the more I just kind of listen to the arguments, it just seems incredibly parochial and selfish, frankly, narrow-minded by the Escambia County Commissioners who are so adamant about keeping it here.
We're talking literally less time than what a living person would have to go to from Perdido Key for an autopsy. And we're going to cost more money. And the Sacred Heart Hospital, I've been through it, it's outdated. I'm sorry, we're going to put a lot of money in to retrofit it. It just is. I could go through a laundry list, don't want to do that. But I'm on board with the other three counties. I'll be on board with them. I hope the rest of this board is as well. I hope you put two plans together, one that says the one there and the one with the annex, so we all know the cost, because I think that's worthwhile. And I would also appreciate if you put exactly the mission of what will happen at both facilities, the number of FTs, and the cost, because I think that we need to consider that.
See, he's thinking like a statesman. He's thinking like, okay, we got four counties with a lot of deaths. Where do we put the medical facility? It makes sense to have the medical examiner's facility in Santa Rosa. That makes sense. That's the right answer. But instead, you've got people like Commissioner Stephen Barry who say,
I want to get along with everybody. I think we do a really good job on TPO. I think we do a really good job in other issues, you know. But I'm not responsible to those folks. I'm responsible to my folks. And to a person, my folks aren't interested in spending a bunch of money somewhere else.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And that was the point I was making, Dan. This, none of this is personal.
That's Jeff Burgosh. So lead. Be a leader. Explain it to them. You know, sometimes it's the job of a leader to tell the people that are reporting to you or that are giving their input to you, this is why you're mistaken. Sometimes you have to say, you know, I know it'd be nice to just keep it here, but think about it that all these four counties have to agree on a plan. And that plan has to involve them too. And if all four counties think, well, my voters don't want it to be in, you know, think of if the folks in Crestview are like, well, my voters don't want it to be in Pensacola. Well, if everybody thinks that way, then we keep getting nothing done. Think about it like you're a member of the United Counties of the Panhandle. And you got to make a decision. What's the best decision? What makes the most sense? Stop being so parochial and thinking about it just here. Same for Jeff Burgosh. You know, like, well, I can't believe that we're going to have these, you know, don't have bodies leaving the county. They're leaving some county. They're leaving Walton and Okaloosa.
For my vote, guys, I want to keep it here. I think it makes sense for the families that we represent. It makes sense for all the reasons I've enunciated. It makes sense because this is where all the death occurs, really the majority of it. And again, why would we want to start transporting bodies out of Escambia County when the majority of them are going to die here? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Does the body care?
Is that Jeff Burgosh?
Yes, that was Jeff Burgosh.
All right, what if, hear me out. Okay, you know how like Sacred and everybody has like a Subway or whatever? Mm-hmm. What if we attached a steak restaurant to, hear me out, to the morgue in Santa Rosa, like a great
steak
one.
Steak and wine at the morgue?
Yes, like just on the other side. And then he would be like, oh, what a great place.
751 on News Radio 92.3. You know, this is slow moving. Okay, it's slow moving. We'll see. Like I said, catch me a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, I was into the two-facility solution that made sense. The more I hear Mike Kohler, the more I hear Dan Shebler, the more I think, and Robert Bender to some degree, the more I think, this just doesn't make any sense. It's so, like, gotta be ours, keep it to ours. Stop thinking that way, man. This is not an ours problem, this is an all of us problem. 752 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you own a business and you have employees and you want to do right by them, which of course is all of you, I assume, then you want to find out whether you're giving them the best benefits at the best price with the best alternatives. Torgerson Causey, they'll help you do that. Whether it's life insurance, dental, vision, disability, human resource management, payroll, they are a comprehensive employee benefits agency. And they will come take a look at what you're doing for no charge. And just say, you know, we can help you with this, we can help you with this, or, you know, we can't help you at all, you're already doing fantastic. So no cost to find out if you might be able to do something better or not. We started using them here at News Radio and Cat Country about 5 or 6 years ago, and they've been fantastic. I'm super satisfied. Really easy to work with, always answer the questions, and, again, gave us options we didn't have before. 20-plus years serving local businesses. Torgerson Causey, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
This is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Join me Monday at 10 for the Chamber Connection Show. On this week's Chamber Connection, I'll be talking to Gina Melanson, Executive Director of the Gulf Coast Diplomacy Council. Gina will explain how the council brings folks from all over the world to visit and explore Pensacola. And she'll also tell us about their upcoming Mint Jubilee. So join me Monday at 10 for the Chamber Connection Show.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck because the redesigned 2023 Subaru Outback shares your spirit. The Outback can take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. And Subaru's estimated highway fuel economy for non-turbo 2023 Outback models is up to 32 miles per gallon. And comparing information from competitors' website, the Outback has more ground clearance than Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4. So you can take on the path less traveled with ease. And with Experian Automotive studied vehicles, vehicles in operation versus total new registrations, they found that 97% of Outback vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today, which means you can explore your world with confidence. The 2023 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Actual mileage may vary. Clearance comparisons as of June 2022. Experian data for model years 2012 to 2021 as of December 2022.
NAS Whiting Field is a major training facility for our United States military. It produces more than 1,200 pilots a year and is the home to the largest air wing in the U.S. Navy and produces 100% of all Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard helicopter pilots. But NAS Whiting Field has a lot more to offer and makes a huge impact to our local community. Tune in today at 9 to hear what's happening at NAS Whiting Field on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Listen to Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade interview the latest newsmakers and cover the biggest national stories. Weekdays 11 to 1 on News Radio 92.3.
Missed it by that much.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Candy's got traffic on the fives. Candy?
And not showing any slowdowns or delays. It looks like everything is running smoothly right now. Watch for your usual areas of congestion, school drop-offs and, you know, lights and stuff like that. But other than that, good to go. Watch for the South Navy Boulevard, the entrance to Pensacola NAS. They're doing daytime lane closures as they try to repair utility sidewalk and curbs in that area. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, text them in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne now in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The 127th running of the Boston Marathon happening today on Patriots Day. Nearly 30,000 runners from over 100 different countries will be on the course today. Thousands more, of course, lining the route. This is 10 years now since the deadly Boston Marathon bombing claimed the lives of three people, injured many others. Time running out for people who haven't filed their taxes yet. The IRS deadline for filing is tomorrow, but you can request an extension, although that's only good for the filing and not for payments owed. And SpaceX launching another rocket from Texas today. They're launching Starship, actually. It's the what they call a fully reusable transportation system and the world's most powerful launch vehicle ever developed. It's going to be unmanned today, but eventually I believe they're wanting to send Starship to, was it Mars? Was that their ultimate goal for Starship?
I think that's the eventual plan, yeah. If I'm not,
you think they can find their way back?
We built this city.
Different one, got it. Built this city. This is a band, David, called Starship.
Might have been before my time.
It was.
Well,
it's before
even
mine.
Even that version of the band is before your time.
No lie.
And that's not the original. 757 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I didn't know you already had something lined up.
Oh, I was looking. No, the extra 3 seconds for your comment helped me find it for sure. No, that was useful. Oh, my goodness. Where are we? Oh, so for people who are in the military, and Navy, obviously, we have a lot of Navy folks here. There was a really concerning moment. Now, this did not happen just recently, but this did take place late last year. You had a near collision of two warships out on the West Coast.
92, Warship 49, we're...
That's one person going, yeah!
Warship 49, we're coming to port to avoid you.
Yeah, that's not what you want to hear. You do not want to be traveling in San Diego Harbor, transiting the strait there, and have one warship tell the other warship, turn left! Turn! We're turning left! You turn left! So you had the USS Harper's Ferry. And you had the USS Momsen. One's a cruiser and one's an LHA, I think. Anyway, and basically the officer in charge of navigating the Harper's Ferry, according to the Navy report that just came out, at the critical moment recognized that the ship's commander was not taking effective action to prevent collision, believing that he had the best situational awareness and took proactive and effective action. Momsen was out of position and the Harper's Ferry officers were busy issuing contradicting orders on the bridge. And we've had collisions recently, right? I mean, we've had a couple of major ship collisions where people die. Goes on to say that it was incredibly brave of the officer to make the correct decision. And one, had the cruiser, I think, had like stopped its engines. And you can't maneuver when you're stopped. Like, that's exactly what you don't do. Just like you can't turn a jet ski when it's not moving, same kind of thing. So they avoided it, and it was okay. And we've got it all. There's a video of it out there. But, oh, my God, so close to catastrophe.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Governor DeSantis is expected today to announce more action against Disney. We'll tell you about that after this update from Fox News at News Radio 92.3.